Blog Talk Radio.
I hate you both. I've hated you ever since I can remember. I hate you, and I wish you both had cancer.
Cancer?
Yes, in the head.
I'm as bad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Tell me, you built a time machine out of a DeLorean?
This is the stupid.
People seem to like me because I am polite and I'm rarely late.
And now, the host of the Stupid Cancer Show, Matthew Zachary.
Monday, May 18th. And we are once again live on the Stupid Cancer Show, the voice of young adults with cancer. We are your friendly neighborhood weekly social webcast, finally giving that voice to nearly 5 million young adults affected by cancer. This broadcast is a program for the IC Young for This Cancer Foundation, a national leader in the fight against cancer, working exclusively on behalf of survivors and their care providers under the age of 40. Got cancer under 40? Suck, huh? Well, get busy living because the Stupid Cancer Show is on the air. Welcome to tonight's broadcast, my friends. We are here to change the world one chemo infusion at a time and share all of our collective rapture. Now call me a hippie, but do not call me a victim, because I don't believe that change is possible if you never disrupt and challenge the status quo. I am still here. You are still here. This is why we fight. Forget the cure, folks. That's right. Hurting your first. Forget the cure. Survivorship is all that matters. So welcome, my friends, to the Stupid Cancer Movement, because we're here to stay. The couch is comfy. Here in Stupid Cancer Land, we are not just about the quantity of your life, we're about the quality, too. Why? Because there's more to the cure than just research. We need to cure cancer for Gen X, Gen Y. Whatever that means, it's only going to come from within our own ranks. Are we on our own? Well, I say that if we're the generation that invented Google, Facebook, Second Life, and kept Sanjaya on American Idol all those weeks, we should be able to take care of our own generation. This is Generation Cancer, and it is our fight. We have the sheer numbers, the voting power, and the influence to change the rules, because remission is not an excuse for a cure, and survivorship is all that matters. Alrighty, on last week's show, May 11th, we received Calgon, Take Me Away, with our survivor spotlight on artist, musician, survivor Charlie Luskin, founder of First Ascent, Brad Ludden, and Jennifer Benton, one of the founders of Can't Make a Dream. Well, tonight's show is Cancer Palooza. In lieu of tomorrow night's Cancer Palooza event in Los Angeles, we have Devin Hennessy, young adult singer, songwriter, and Brandon Schott, young adult survivor, singer-songwriter, contributing artist to the I2I Benefit CD, Volume 2, and Mike Cannon, returning champion, singer-songwriter, survivor, and contributing artist to the I2I CD, Volume 1. This will be a great show. So hello, my friends, and welcome to yet another fun for an exciting romp through the hangout tonight's Stupid Cancer Show, and a Stupid Cancer welcome to all of our first-time listeners here on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Coming to live, very special live tonight, from our new temporary studio in Los Angeles, the West Coast Chemo Deck, I suppose, in Encino, actually. I'm your host, Matthew Zachary, a 13-year young adult survivor of pediatric brain cancer. And interestingly enough, Jack Buffard will not be joining us on the show tonight. He just finished a 5-day trip to Can't Make a Dream, the aforementioned Can't Make a Dream, where he spoke on behalf of I2Y and done us some good, making an impression on lots of people who went to that camp. He had a great time. He kept Twittering or tweeting or whatever it's called the entire time. But he's in flight right now from Salt Lake City back to New York and will not be joining us. I don't know if that will actually improve the quality of tonight's broadcast or not. But to be honest with you, I personally think that he does bring some comic relief to the show, kind of like a pet, I guess. He's going to listen to this broadcast and kill me, but I don't care. So we're Jack Bouffardless tonight, for that matter. And interestingly enough, we are also Carol Rosenthal-less tonight, my partner in crime here on the Stupid Cancer Show. Carol from the Windy City of Chicago, author of the acclaimed book Everything Changes, The Insider's Guide to Cancer in Your 20s and 30s. She is lovely, talented, blogtastic, and spectacular, but she is also not joining us. So it's almost like we're going back to basics because we're nearing the two-year cancerversary of the Stupid Cancer Show, believe it or not, the two-year cancerversary of the Stupid Cancer Show. And I started the show by myself. I didn't have co-hosts. I didn't have correspondents, or I didn't have comic relief such as Jack Bouffard on the show. So it's intriguing to be revisiting the roots and doing the show by myself tonight and talking with our guests. And I like the fact that tonight's show is about music. You all know that I'm an artist and a musician, and music is a very passionate cause for me to have integrated into what I2Y is doing. So I love the fact that we can have three consecutive musicians on the show. We're going to cut away to tracks that that they all composed. And it was really quite a wonderful, I think it's going to be a really great show tonight. So we're missing Jack Bouffard. We're missing Carol Rosenthal. We have no live studio audience, and we have no news segment because I am in Los Angeles, and all our paperwork is in the New York office, and technically Jack is in charge of that. So the only thing I could really talk about as far as the news goes is that obviously tomorrow night, Tuesday, here in Los Angeles, Cancerpalooza, the artist showcase of new musicians from the I2Y catalog, at Molly Malone's at 8 p.m. It's $15 to get in and free for cancer survivors. So if you are listening to this, visit cancerpalooza.org and check it out. We look forward to seeing you there. I'll be there with bells on. Coming up on June 6th, we have the second OMG Cancer Summit for Young Adults in Syracuse. This is our regional model versus the New York City model, which is our metro model. That is going to be held in Syracuse. You can go to syracuse.omgsummit.org to find out details. We're getting buses. I think we're shuttling people in from Albany and Buffalo and Rochester and Binghamton. It's going to be really great. Erin Zammit Ruddy from Glamour Magazine is going to be there. You may know her name because she co-hosted the social media spot with me at the OMG Summit in New York City. She's a wonderful person, survivor of CML and living on Gleevec, a writer, a blogger, author, wonderful person. And I guess the big news for I2Y at this point is June 10th in New York City is our third annual Stupid Cancer Ungala. And by that, it is our signature annual social networking sort of mixer, a young professionals mixer. We have anywhere between 200 to 300, maybe 400 people come. We have an open bar special for $65. It's a recession-friendly open bar special for $65. We have a level two, which is first drink free, and the cancer teenies that are going to be floating around. And it's $25 to enter, and we have a $25 angel sponsor. So if you would like to help us underwrite the cost for inpatient young adults to get there for free, please visit Ungala. I'm sorry, it is Ungala. UNGALA, ungala.i2y.com, and click on over to the tickets where you can purchase your own angel sponsorships, $25, and help us out. It's going to be an amazing night. We're looking forward to it, and I can't believe it's already 3 weeks away. So those are the big things going on here in the world of cancer without having Jack here and all his magnificent knowledge. So in lieu of the time we have, because usually we have this amazing banter and this conversations and whatnot, I'm going to be reading an essay that I released to the world yesterday, I think, or this morning, called Cancer from 30,000 Feet. And what I found most interesting about that was I actually wrote it at 30,000 feet. I was in flight on my way to on my way to Los Angeles on Saturday, and I just felt really compelled to write a new essay after having read some new information in the internetverse of whatnot. And I'm going to read this to you, and hopefully by the time I'm finished reading it, we'll have our first caller, Debbie, on the phone, and we can cut away to her interview. So this is Cancer from 30,000 Feet, Are We There Yet? By Matthew Zachary, that's me. Life is about choice. Remission is not a cure, and survivorship is all the rage. Why we fight. Seeing as how I'm writing this on an airplane, the title may not actually be as clever as it seems. However, with a little foresight, I am hoping that by the time I finish this piece, in flight, it will be euphemistic and metaphorical. I have chosen a life whereby not a single moment passes that I do not think, eat, sleep, and breathe cancer advocacy, which, by my own definition, means, quote, ensuring that the next you doesn't have to go through the same crap that I did as a 13-year pediatric brain cancer survivor, end quote. Now, I suppose you could take cancer out of that equation entirely in such that my aphorism would be universally applicable to nearly anything, I suppose, civil rights, gay rights, poverty, education. We want to make sure that the next us doesn't have to go through what we went through. But let's just say for a moment that we could peer down 30,000 feet to our society as a whole. And I'm not talking about Americans. I'm talking about all humans. Are we decent people? By and large, do we not all just want to live productive lives and contribute to the common good? Idealistic as it may sound, it is unfortunate that a small percentage of bad apples continue to ruin it for the rest of us. Thus, we have the hyperbole of human nature and perhaps the reason why change happens so slowly and only from within. Now, cancer is only about 100 years old in terms of being a recognized disease that the United States at least felt worthy enough of focusing resources on. Many of you may be surprised to know that the American Cancer Society was originally founded in 1913 by 15 businessmen and physicians in New York City under the name the American Society for the Control of Cancer. Then came the National Cancer Institute, which was established in 1937 as part of the New Deal's National Cancer Institute Act. In 1949, today's Leukemia and Lymphoma Society was founded also in New York City as the Robert Rosler Foundation. Nearly 35 years later, Susan G. Komen came into the fray and was established in 1982. More recently, the Lance Armstrong Foundation took its place as a game-changing institution. And considering that LAF was founded in 1997, it would seem that from 30,000 feet up in the sky, it is taking less and less time to gain effectiveness with the right strategic plan and the right vision. And, of course, let's not forget the war on cancer, a campaign term I have personally grown to intensely dislike and disavow. It's a mere 35 years old, the war on cancer. And for the record, I'm 35 years old. So I'm as old as the war on cancer. How hardy har har is that? So now we have the war on cancer 2, the cancer strikes back, to deal with. So as far as all these big gun initiatives are concerned, we've had a whole lot of smart people working on this whole cancer thing for quite some time, for over 100 years. That's a lot of time, a lot of talent, and a lot of treasure. But what is 100 years in the scheme of things? I mean, after all, from the perspective of an evolutionary biologist, cancer has been around for millions, perhaps billions of years. It is, after all, a naturally occurring physiological process. By simple definition alone, cancer is simply any malignant growth or tumor caused by an abnormal, uncontrolled cell division. The rub is that our Homo sapien immune systems used to be able to deal with cancer cells, much like it deals with cuts, bruises, scrapes, broken bones, and the sniffles. You get hurt, you get sick, you get better. Your body does all the work for you. But for some reason, in spite of medical advances, the wildfire increase of cancer incidence during the 20th century that ironically coincides with modern industrialization, agribusiness, technology-induced creature comforts, and the McRib has shown that our immune systems aren't doing such a good job anymore. Our bodies can't inherently fight the cancer cells the way we used to before. Perhaps our immune systems aren't doing so well because we are, in fact, living longer than we are genetically predisposed to. Or perhaps that we have to fortify our bread, our juice, and our milk with the very vitamins they should normally contain but don't because of our nutrition-deprived soil. So, what do we do to fight cancer in 2009? What elixir do we offer to bolster our immune systems? We poison ourselves to the point of near death in many cases, such as my own, with the hope of killing the cancer cells, which ironically lack immune systems of their own, along with everything else inside us that technically grows back, like our stomach lining, our hair, our sperm, perhaps even our dignity. And the goal of poisoning ourselves? Cure. We want to be cured. We need to feel cured. We want to know that we are cancer-free and that, God willing, we won't have to deal with this again in our lifetime. Sounds marvelous. But from 30,000 feet up, remission from cancer doesn't sound like a cure. Cures last forever, don't they? Like the measles vaccine. One shot, no measles forever. After all, isn't that why it's called a cure? You can always get cancer again, too, right? Many survivors are actually hyper-predisposed to relapse and secondary cancers because of their initial treatment. Now, that's the gift that keeps on giving. But that ain't cure for me. That's cure for now. And cure for now is scary. It's not hopeful. It's not optimistic. It's the boogeyman reality check that few want to acknowledge. But we want to sell hope, not reality. We want to sell cure to the masses. It's sexy. It's positive. It's delusional, but it works. And it raises billions and billions of dollars every year. And it's attached to a broken healthcare and insurance system governed by profit instead of ethics that is consciously disenfranchising millions of Americans in the fight of their lives every single day. And this is not okay. So while the majority of society still continues to blissfully believe not just that cancer is contagious, but that it is just one single disease like the measles, it's no wonder we keep pushing cure, because the truth is too scary, that there is no cure to cancer in the sense of a magic bullet, fairy dust, gelatin capsule, just like there has been and will continue to be no cure for diabetes, HIV, Crohn's disease, or any similar chronic condition. Bottom line, so long as you can get it again, it ain't a cure. Remission is not an excuse for a cure. So again, from 30,000 feet, what's the deal? The current mission of today's National Cancer Institute is to eliminate death and suffering. With regard to cancer, I can live with that. One, get cancer. Two, try not to die. Three, focus on quality of life, not quantity. So from a death sentence to a life sentence, so cancer now becomes a chronic condition. They've even gone so far as to explore the elimination of the word prevention. After all, how can you actually prevent cancer when infants are born with brain cancer and leukemia? How can you prevent cancer when chain smokers live to 100, and athletes in peak physical condition like John Lester, Lance Armstrong, and Eric Chanteau get struck in the prime of their lives for no apparent reason? Who's doing this math, people? So to keep up with a time of smarter consumers, we're now seeing a semantic public health shift from prevention to risk reduction. Reduce your risk of getting cancer, yeehaw, and voila, a new fear is born. You can't prevent it, people. The boogeyman is coming for you, because risk reduction is a game of chance. It's the ultimate poker match. Outside of the obvious, don't smoke, eat right, and exercise, how is that any different than reducing your risk for anything outside of pregnancy or gambling or car accidents. If you don't want to get pregnant, don't do it. If you don't want to gamble, don't go into a casino. If you don't want to get into a car accident, don't drive. And there's fault with that logic, too. We can only reduce the risk factors we actually have control over. We have no control of various sources of key influence that we already know significantly contribute to our overall well-being. We don't have control over the water supply. Maybe we should move to Montana with Jack. We can only do so much to trust our low-mercury fish has low mercury. Organic, vegan lifestyle, anyone? The very air we breathe is laced with all sorts of fabulous multisyllabic chemicals. Montana, anyone? Again? From 30,000 feet, instead of trying to treat the symptoms and racing for the cure, shouldn't we be racing for the cause? In lieu of continuing to put Band-Aids on a leaky faucet, shouldn't we try to understand what caused the faucet to leak in the first place? Shouldn't risk reduction be a shared responsibility between individuals and businesses? What good is juicing kale if you live in Los Angeles and breathe that delicious brown smog for breakfast? I am a cancer advocate. I am trying to make the next me not have to go through the same crap and agony that I went through as a 21-year-old college student diagnosed with brain cancer in the prime of his life. The next generation of cancer survivors deserve better than what we've been handed. More cancer incidents and a broken healthcare system compounded by a profit-based dystopian medical insurance oligarchy. Solutions to problems always begin with dialogue. Mine started 13 years ago and counting. I am still here, you are still here, and this is why we fight. Forget the cure, folks. That's right, you heard it here first. Forget the cure. Survivorship is all that matters. Stupid cancer, survivors rule. So there you have it. I'm being told by our producers that our chat room is actually down tonight. So apparently I'm now without Jack, I'm without Carol, and I'm without our live chat room. So it really is just me sitting here in a silo, and none of our callers have called in yet. So I'm getting concerned that we don't actually know what's going on in the first place. So what I'm going to do, in the hopes that we have one of our musicians call in, I'm going to just play one of their songs for you. Debbie Hennessy might be joining us, but I'm going to introduce her anyway. She's not on the call yet. But she's an award-winning independent artist with a distinctive voice that is both powerful and soulful. Her music is a crossover blend of country, rock, and soul, and has been played on country and AC radio stations around the world. She was named an AC 40 Female Artist of the Year by New Music Weekly, is a two-time ASCAP Plus Award recipient, and was included on compilation CDs from CMT's New Music Collection. She will be performing live at Cancerpalooza at Molly Malone's tomorrow night in Los Angeles. And this is her song called Dare Me.
And then it hit me, right.
we were kind of getting worried about you being trapped under something heavy. You know,
I'm sorry.
I had to play the song first.
Oh, it was not funny last night, let me tell you. I forgot about the clapping. I love that thing. No, I'm fine. I apologize. I thought this was the time I was supposed to call in, so I must have misread the instructions.
Well, you're here now, and we have a few minutes
now to
talk. Do you want to tell us a little about your cousin, which was the story you shared with me, what interested you in the young adult cancer movement and sort of got your goat going?
Yeah, my cousin, Aaron, was about 34 years old and pregnant with her second child, and I think she was about maybe 2 months along, maybe a little further, when they discovered that she had breast cancer. And she made the decision to continue the pregnancy, and it really just wasn't an option for her to do anything else, which meant putting her treatment on hold to make sure that the baby would be okay. So at about 7 months, they did a C-section and took the baby and then immediately started trying to treat her. And unfortunately, it was a very aggressive cancer, and within about 2 years, she passed away. So it just was a situation where it was very frustrating, and she was, just an amazing person anyway, and she had done a lot she was sort of a self-advocate, and, went to different doctors, and she, I do believe she even spoke in Connecticut in front of some of the, local state senators there and stuff. I mean, she really, tried really hard, and I remember there's, at one point there was, her job wasn't cooperating with her, and, all these things sort of piling up against her and stuff, and she never gave up, and just sort of seeing that struggle, and some of the other people, there's been several people in my life who've had cancer, but especially someone who's, when you're just getting your life going, and then it's you hit with something like that. I feel like it's really a very difficult situation, and not something that most people would ever expect. So, ever since then, I'd always been sort of involved with different cancer things, but since then, I've really made sure that every year, I do as many benefit concerts and stuff like that as I can.
I was reading your bio. You're quite accredited. Like, when did you start? What was your first instrument? When did you first pick up a something?
It's always been singing. Singing is my much to which at this age now I'm like, darn it, why didn't I practice guitar more? But for me, like, just as far back as I can remember, I just wanted to be a singer, and so that was just the love of singing, and was always the thing for me.
Well, there you go. And how many albums do you have out?
I have two albums out, and I've got a bunch of new songs up on the site. I'm not sure when I'm going to do another CD. Right now, I'm just writing and kind of going through that process. So we'll see, but there's two of them out there now, and we have a video out and all that kind of stuff.
You know, as a musician, people always ask me, who are my influences? And I kind of rattle them off. But do you have a key list of people that you've taken a lot of cues from?
Yeah, I mean, I am, at an age where, as a kid, a young child, AM radio was the thing, and you could hear everything on there. You could hear a country song 1 minute, and then you could hear a pop song, and then you might hear an R&B song. And I think that had a huge influence on me, because I really do like a lot of different things. And, I was very influenced by Motown, as well as, which was before my time, and yet, always just such an amazing collection of artists and songs. And then as a teenager, it was things like Steve Perry, and as I got a little older, I got even more into country. I guess one of the first albums that I had, though, was a Johnny Cash. It wasn't really mine. It was my mother's. But I used to play this Johnny Cash album to death when I was about 6 or 7, something like that. So,
nice. Very nice.
Yeah, so, you know, I like it all.
So this song that we listened to, Dare Me, can you tell us a little bit about its origins?
Yeah, I had the opportunity to go to Nashville a couple of years ago for my first time, and I had been dealing with some different publishers and writers in Nashville through a contact out here, and so it was the first time I got to go there and actually meet some of these people, and I was lucky enough to meet two gentlemen who had co-written with Mark Luna, and Mark had a couple of songs on both of my CDs, and one was Richard Wald, and the other is Stan Webb, and they're both kind of legends in Nashville and in songwriting. I mean, they're amazing writers, and it's exactly like they talk about the Nashville writing session. We met. It was a 3-hour session, and we sat around and talked for about 40 minutes, and then we wrote a song. And at the end of that session, we had a song. It just blew my mind, and it was sort of a master class in country songwriting, because here you had Richard, whose melodies are unbelievable, and he's had everybody from, you know, Barbara Streisand and Celine Dion to, you know, Anne Murray, all these crazy people, you know, recorded his stuff. And then Stan, on the other hand, is just a master lyricist, and he's one of only 3 people to receive a Lifetime Achievement Award from CSAC, which is one of the performing rights organizations. So, you know, it was such an honor, and you know, it's just a fun little song, and you know, we were just kicking around ideas, and that's kind of what we came up with.
Well, it's a great song. I assume you're going to be performing it tomorrow night.
I am. Excellent. Yep.
Excellent.
Yep.
Yeah. I can't tell you how happy I am that we finally got connected. You reached out to Eye to Eye probably 6 to 8 months ago, a year ago.
About a year ago, yeah.
And it's you know, too long coming, but we're very happy that we're working with you now, and we're definitely going to have you as part of Volume 3 of the Eye to Eye Benefit Seed Project.
Cool.
So,
yeah, I mean, I'm so excited about tomorrow night and you know, just actually spending the rest of this evening putting stuff together and making sure we have everything ready for tomorrow, and you know, just really looking forward to it, and you know, just happy I can help, because I really feel like this organization in particular is just so very important, and you know, you've done so much stuff, and you have so much information for people, and I think that's really important.
Well, I thank you for being my guest on the show. We'll definitely
Absolutely.
Have to have you back, and I will see you tomorrow night at Molly Malone's.
Yes, thank you.
All right, Debbie.
All right.
Nice to see everybody.
Bye.
Everyone gets their applause. All righty.
All right, thanks.
All right, bye. Okay, seeing as how we are working on like a Stupid Cancer Show Light tonight, I don't have all my sound cues, but I'm just going to introduce our second guest. Is a Los Angeles-based producer and troubadour. Just released his second LP, Golden State, back in 2007 when he was diagnosed with stage 3 germ cell cancer. Way to go, dude. Now in his 15th month of remission, he has turned his cancer experience back into his musical community by founding the organization Artists for Healing and readying his third LP, Dandelion, for release later this year, contributing artist to Eye to Eye Benefit CD Volume 2. Please welcome to the Stupid Cancer Show, Brandon Schaaf.
I love the applause. That's awesome. It could either be taken as applause or a flock of seagulls.
That's true. It could go either way.
Absolutely. How's it going?
It's going real well. Thanks for chiming in. It's great to have you on the show.
It's great to be here, Matt. Thank you.
So obviously the theme of tomorrow's Cancerpalooza is to raise awareness for the young adult movement. Young adults can and do get cancer. No one really seems to care. But with this specific arc of music and art as a therapy and a means to an end, you know, you are a young adult cancer survivor, you know, coming up on your 2-year anniversary this year.
That's right.
And just wanted you to talk a little bit about your origins as a musician, how that got started, and how a cancer diagnosis probably totally screwed you up, and what are you doing now that you're bouncing back?
Well, I've been playing piano since I was 9 years old, and that was kind of the genesis of it. I studied classical piano for years, and you know, as I was delegated to my practice time, I kept sneaking in some Billy Joel and Elton John classics into the Chopin and Liszt rotation. Most of the time, unbeknownst to my folks, but so that kind of that was the beginning of my journey, and then eventually started singing and then writing and one thing led to another, and I started making records and so on and so forth. And then, as far as you'd mentioned, cancer totally screwing me up. You know, it was a roadblock for me for sure, and it was certainly a moment of pause. But after having gone through it and coming out the other side of it, I don't think I've ever been as inspired in my life. And I think, and not that of course I would ever wish it upon anyone, but my experience was kind of a touch of the divine in a way. Like I really saw the best of people throughout my experience. The amount of love and support that I received during that time was amazing. And I remarked to a friend of mine not too long ago that, you know, cancer kind of happened to me, and I'm still trying to figure out why it is. You know, what is it that I'm supposed to take from this experience, and what do I have to offer because of it? So that's kind of where I'm at.
Now, from the perspective of being a young adult, did you feel similar experience? Did you feel you had a similar experience to other adults in terms of being isolated and not being taken seriously, or, you know, feeling possibly disenfranchised because there was a lack of support? Or were you perhaps, you know, dealt a kinder blow?
I was definitely dealt a kinder blow. But I will tell you that there was a massive turning point in my experience that, had it gone another way, it could have been a completely different outcome. When I was, I had checked myself in, not checked myself, I had basically gone to the emergency room one Saturday afternoon because I was having some pains in my chest over the course of the week, and I was just kind of tired, which for a long time I had chalked up to just my lifestyle. I have a full-time job, and I do music outside of that, plus I have a family as well. And when I was in the emergency room, I was there for maybe 3 or 4 hours, and they told me that I had what looked like a fungal infection in my chest. And they had actually told me that they were going to give me some antibiotics and release me. And between the time that they told me that and they were processing the paperwork, the attendings in the ER changed hands. And the new attending came on, and by the stroke of God, you know, she had had a young adult. Her daughter had been diagnosed and was in recovery from cancer as well. So she had the red flags. She kind of knew what to look for. And she came in and closed the door and said, "Okay, I know we were going to send you home, but I took another look at your X-ray. And this is what this usually means. You know, the last attending didn't notice this."
That's pretty
but
divine
really,
intervention right there.
Oh, my God, yeah. You know, so, I mean, it really could have gone the other way. And I mean, I feel so blessed that it didn't. So, I can only speak from my experience. I wish that, I would hope that anyone that had to go through cancer would have the kind of care and the kind of support and diagnosis that I had. And coming out around the other side of it, hearing the stories of how that may not be the case, it only makes me want to get involved more, which is why I'm really honored to be a part of I'm Too Young for This and to be a part of tomorrow night's event.
And on that note, we're going to cut to your song, Carousel. Do you want to talk really briefly about its origins, and then we'll cut away to it?
Sure. Carousel is a song that was on my second album, Golden State. And on the LP version is very energized and up and, you know, full of life. And Carousel Revisited, which is the song that's on the compilation, the one you're about to play, is the first thing that I worked on after going into remission last February. The first thing that I recorded, the first thing that I released. And the song was written about a trip that my son and I had taken to the zoo the previous winter. And it seemed appropriate to kind of, you know, take another look at the song and maybe approach it from more of a reflective place, which was really where I was at that point. And I just, you know, yeah. So that's kind of where that came from. It's just a whole different take on it. Also,
all right, well,
that's a big reflection
of
my lifestyle change at the time as well.
Well, let's put it to the voters. I'm kidding. Here's
cool.
Carousel by Brandon Schott. Stop and Sorry about that, bro.
It's all good.
I think we have like 8 seconds left.
You can hear the rest of that song tomorrow night at Cancerpalooza.
Yep. Well, thank you for being on the show. Again, Brandon will be playing live tomorrow night at Molly Malone's as part of Cancerpalooza Los Angeles. Great story, great music, great guy. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. See you tomorrow.
All right, Brandon. And now it's time for our final guest, my friend, returning champion, a testicular cancer survivor from age 16. At 18, traveled the country in a van with a group of wacky Catholic hippies, giving retreats to young people, crisscrossed Europe through college with his guitar, hung out with monks deep in the desert in monasteries. He lived at the Vatican as a seminarian in his 20s. This guy's done everything. He's like the Johnny Cash of experience. He's been everywhere. He's done everything. He's a good friend, a great guy, very talented musician. Please welcome to the show the one and only Mike Tiernan. Hey, Mike.
What's up, Matthew? How you doing, man?
Good. Sorry you're running late, but we're having some technical glitches. Apparently the chat is back up and running, and people can log in to listen to the last 15 minutes of the show.
Nice.
Just refresh your browsers if you're listening, folks, and that we have some folks in the chat room now. So.
But, cool.
Yeah, Mike, it's great to talk to you again, man.
You too. It's been a while. It's
been a long time. What have you been up to?
Having babies, man. my wife and I just had our first daughter.
Oh,
about
congratulations, man. Welcome to fatherhood.
Thank you. It's pretty dang cool, man.
How's that been treating you?
Excellent. She's just amazing.
Are you in charge of north or south?
What's that?
Are you in charge of north or south?
North or south?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm in charge of it all.
Okay. All right. You're probably going to be a better father than I will be because I think my wife and I decided that I'm in charge of south.
Okay. Right on, man.
I can't handle spit up and puke. There's just something about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I do it all. Since being a musician and all, I have a little bit more flexibility with schedule, so I take care of the kid a lot while my wife's at work. So
and,
I do it all.
What is your offspring's name?
Her name is Elizabeth Grace.
That's a beautiful name.
Yeah, thank you.
Wow. We're really happy for you, man. That's great news.
It proves that testicular cancer survivors can have kids, you know, no doubt.
I know. Well, you had testicular cancer, and
yeah.
Did they even talk to you about fertility, you know, 20 years
ago? Yeah, you know, I was 16 years old, and Dr. Skinner at USC, who's definitely the leading guy, or was at least, I'm not sure anymore, but in that sector of oncology, he brought it up, and of course my parents were there, and at the time I'm like, why would I want to freeze my sperm? I'm 16,
right.
You know. So they brought it up, but, you know, we didn't really go down that road.
So this is like the Lance Armstrong miracle story, where you just happened to become fertile, did it come up in conversation when you met your wife or seeing girlfriends or anything like that?
Not really. I mean, they would just say, are you okay? So are you okay? I'm like, fully functional, baby.
All right. Well, look at you.
I know.
That's a good story.
That's
a good story. Now, well, we've known each other almost 2 years now.
Yes.
And I'm a huge fan of your music, and we have your song. I'm totally slipping on the track, of course, because I've been listening to it.
I believe it's Slow
Day,
Down.
Of course. Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Slow Down, and which is on our Volume 1 album, which was released 2.5 years ago, if you can believe it.
The flagship.
Yeah, the flagship album. And we've given away over 50,000 copies of those in 2.5 years.
It's good Lord.
Quite,
that is
quite
awesome.
Amazing.
Man, that is – that. I had no idea that was the number. That's staggering. Very cool.
Well, we have over 500 hospitals.
Huh.
That get
look at you, man. 2.5 years.
I know.
Look where you started. Look where you are now, man. This is
it's
awesome.
I'm very happy with where things are, but every one of these hospitals gets 10, 20, 30 albums to give away
right.
to their patients. Who has time to download MP3s? You just want the disc plus the toolkit. It has resources in it, and
right.
You know, so the word's out there. It's all good stuff, and You know, so for our listenership out there, the song Slow Down, is there a reason it's called that? I'm sure there is.
Yeah, I mean, it's that when I wrote it was at a time in my life where I was just way, way too busy. And sometimes, you know, things happen that force us to slow down and take a look around at what's going on outside of yourself and, more importantly, inside of yourself. And kind of that's kind of what that song is about, just recentering, refocusing, rediscovering who you are and what you're meant to do. So that was what that song was about, and I think we chose it for the album is because that was kind of the story of my life with what, you know, cancer
right.
did to me, was it forced me to slow down and change the whole direction of my life eventually. So
were you married at the time that you wrote this song?
Yes, I was. I was.
So your wife hasn't slowed you down yet? In like the calm down, dude, we're married now.
Stop being so busy.
Right.
No, it's just, you know, things just keep piling up. Marriage adds to that.
That is true. That I can agree with. I'm not a father, but I am a husband.
Yep.
So I want to cut to the song, but I have to go back to this because I remember when you were on the show, like probably a year and a half ago, we talked about this, but like your backstory is just so intriguing. You know, the monks and the Vatican and the seminary and the it's like you have, I don't know, it's like a white Tyler Perry version of your biography, you know, in existence already. And
that's classic.
Is there any, I tend to make these things up and they make sense on occasion, so.
I like it.
So, yeah, that's your new next album, I'm the White Tyler Perry. what was it like living at the Vatican in your 20s and crisscrossing Europe and you were busking practically, backpacking and busking?
Yeah, you know, I didn't do a lot of busking, but a lot of traveling. And the whole Rome story is that kind of after, I guess it was 10 years after my experience with cancer, you know, I kind of went on a kind of just like a path of spiritual exploration, and it kind of led me back and forth out of a few different kind of paths in religion. And eventually I decided to join the seminary and started to study, become a Catholic priest. And I was sent to Rome, actually right above the Vatican, to continue my theological studies. And that experience was just, it was wild. I mean, here's this, you know, young American dude dressed up in, you know, the black clerics, the white collar, cruising around Rome and going to class during the day, and I would frequently play gigs in pubs at night, which eventually got me into a little bit of trouble, and it was eventually probably the main reason I actually ended up leaving, which is good. just a crazy story, and you know, music was always there through every kind of little path I veered off and investigated. So it eventually all just came back to music, and that's been the driving force in what I'm doing today.
Well, I guess on that note, without pun intended, without any further ado, let's take a listen to Slow Down. What's the name of the album this is from?
That is my second album. It's called Jumping In.
From Jumping In. Slow Down from Jumping In. Here we go.
Too much running with blind eyes, a fickle rat race, a fickle prize. Too much grasping at fake things, empty hands and hurt feelings. Too much action, not enough of that silent stare of love. Too much looking far ahead. What if this in case of that? Placing hope in the next step, but tripping on the one I'm in.
TV show like 2 years ago?
Yes.
All right. I got to help them write the script for that particular scene.
Uh-huh.
And there's a throwaway line in there that I wrote into the scene.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you ever caught it or not, but when
I did. I watched it.
Okay. Do you know what line I'm talking about?
No.
Okay. You're going to have to go back to YouTube and watch this over and over again, because there's a throwaway line in there that I did specifically for you. And for John Schrader, who's another one of these testicular cancer survivor musicians on Volume 1.
Yep.
And, again, it's a total throwaway line. But I'm explaining to Vivi Porter and her friend that we're here, and she asks the question, does everyone here have cancer? And I said, no, people bring their friends and family too. But, and I point to this person, that's Christine. She had cervical cancer, you know, was told she'd never have kids and now just adopted twins from China.
Right.
And over there is Mike and John. They both had testicular cancer, and we call them the nut jobs.
Yes, I do remember that.
Okay. That was for you, buddy.
Oh, man, I'm well represented, because I definitely am a nut job. More ways than one.
I am really looking forward to hearing you perform again tomorrow
night.
That'll
be awesome. I'm bringing the trio, man.
Oh, my God, even better. Even better. It's going to be a great show. So have a safe trip up from San Diego.
Thank you, sir.
And we'll see you there. Mike Tiernan going to be performing with Brandon Schott, with Debbie Hennessy, with Denise Vasquez, and Charlie Lustman. It's going to be an amazing show tomorrow night, guys, and I couldn't be happier to have you a part of it again.
Thank you, my friend. We will see you very soon.
All righty. Mike Tiernan, everybody.
Peace, everyone. Bye.
And on that note, we are ending. We have to apologize to everyone out there that, let's see here. We have to apologize that the chat room wasn't working until 6:50 here in the West Coast. But to be honest with you, I think we got away with it. We promised to have it back up and running next week, we hope. So without further ado, here in Los Angeles, we will be closing out our remote show with our closing sequence.
Prepare to activate.
I hear there's rumors on the internets.
You ever seen a grown man naked?
And so, to all of you, a fond farewell.
Hooray, I'm helping.
You are a meathead.
Oh, Magoo, you've done it again.
That was so terrible, I think you gave me cancer.
All right, folks, that's tonight's show. I hope you had a fun time as I did, poking a stick at Super Cancer.
Love.
I'd like to thank our guests, Debbie Hennessy, Brandon
Exciting
Scott, and Mike,
and
all performing tomorrow night in Los Angeles. Molly Malone, 8 p.m., Cancerpalooza.org.
We're expecting you.
Next week, May 25th, with Young Health Cancer Advocate, Dean Hyman,
Life's sweetest reward. Let it flow.
Spider from Bart Simpson comics, Creative Life Max.
It floats back to you.
Comic book character,
On a friendly shore,
Parker out.